Good morning, everybody. We're going to give you our announcements this morning and tell you that we have a Bible study at the Browning home Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. What time do we have Bible study?
6 o'clock.
On Wednesday at my house. Praise the Lord. Bring your Bibles. All right, what's the next one? I want to go on the radio with this. The offering last week here at Life in Christ Church was $2,428. Okay. If you're listening by radio or internet, boy, I like this already. Oh, I'm going to jump right into the crowd right here, boys. Amen. All right. Anyway, so our February total was $7,832. Cecilia Rupsaman has been recording our services on her Facebook page on Facebook Live. And I've been watching them. And I'm very critical of myself, and I'm saying this sincerely. I would much rather people hear what I say than watch what I'm saying. But anyway, she's doing it. Some friends of hers asked her to record it, and they're getting positive feedback. But in doing it, and the way our church has been set up, it appears that I'm preaching to about two people. And so I want everybody on the radio and on the internet and anybody else that's inquired about our ministry, I want you to know that we are not a cult.
Amen.
Can I get an amen out there? Frankie, we are not a cult. We are a vibrant, living, breathing ministry representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and we preach out of the Holy Bible. And that's what makes us different. And what we're going to teach today is going to be help you understand what makes us different. But I thought it was important to say that, and I thought it was important for people to know that in the month of February, this group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people put into the offering here $7,832. From this wonderful, generous group of believers. And so the other thing that I had one of our people that used to attend this church cleans our house and cleans our office, and she's a wonderful, dear Christian person. If you haven't never met Susie Owen, it's a treat if you ever got to know her. She used to play the drums for us. She looks like she belongs in Bisbee. Don't take that personal, but she looks like if she lived around here, she ought to be in Bisbee. You know, I think she's got nose rings and earrings and tattoos, but she loves Jesus. Anyway, in a conversation I had with her, she was inquiring about how she could donate to this ministry. And so I told her how easy that is. It's not hard. Just write you a check or give me cash. But anyway, in talking to her about that, it dawned on me that every dollar that comes into this ministry via donation. You got to hear me now. Every dollar that comes into this ministry via donation is given to a ministry that's worthy of being donated to. Do you understand that? So for instance, we've started giving away our money in the month of March. Last week, we donated $1,030 to Convoy of Hope, who has already set up an operation where they're helping the Ukrainian refugees as they leave and flee Ukraine. So we gave them $1,030. We gave them $1,000, and then they ask you to pay the credit card charge, so we gave them $1,030. Now, I heard and got an email from Franklin Graham at Samaritan's Purse, and they're in the process of setting up a hospital there in that area, and so that's what we're going to give to this week already. We're going to send money to Samaritan's Purse, yes, and support the hospital that's got set up because, you know, the devil is up to his old tricks again, and that's stealing, killing, and destroying. And God help the Christian church for not understanding that. But anyway, that's part of my call, and I'll help you with that. But anyway, we sent $1,030 to them. We're going to probably send at least $1,000 to the Samaritan's Purse to help them get that hospital built over there and help the injured. And then we also gave Andrew Womack's ministry, we gave them $2,000. And I'm fine in saying this, I'm sure that Andrew will figure a way to get boots on the ground over there and get some things over to the Ukrainian people as well. But not only that, we're supporting all the teaching materials and teaching things that he gives out, telling people about the grace of God. Amen. I wanted people to hear that on the radio and on the internet because I think people need to know that although we've always struggled to hang on to people because of how we preach and what we preach, we are truly called by God to do what we do, and God blesses what we do. Can I get an amen? What we began discussing last week is going to require me to kind of review that and go through that with you slowly again because I want to make sure we're acclimated to what we're doing. We're going to do something for a long, long time. I can already tell that this is going to be something we're going to do for a long, long time, but it won't be boring. It'll be interesting because we're all going to epistle school. I know how much all of us enjoy going to school, but this is a school that you'll get a whole lot out of because this will cause you not to be a victim anymore. You'll be a conqueror. Amen? Amen. So I'm gonna review this again because it's important to review. And so the sermon title, and we did have to change our spelling on this because we kind of made it out like a light beer. Last week it was like Miller Lite. Now only me and Donnie know how they spell Miller Lite. I mean, maybe a few others too. Well, Cheryl admits that she knows how they spell Miller Lite. And so that's what we like about all of us. We're just plain old folk. It's what a guy told me yesterday. His wife became friends with me on Facebook, and she's a believer, and she says some positive things. And he told her, he said, Mark's just plain old Mark. He's what you see is what you get. And I thought, well, that's okay. Anyway, last week we spelled this word differently, but the sermon title is, Have You Been Epistle Lighted? Last week we spelled it L-I-T-E-D. And what we're trying to get you to understand is a better word, L-I-G-H-T-E-D. Have you been epistle lighted? In other words, have you received the enlightenment from the epistles, right? Everybody see that? I'm hanging more on this side because you know what we're doing as far as Facebook Live. So one more time, just because we get new people and maybe there are going to be a few people that see this on Facebook, one more time, I want you, if you brought your Bible, to hold it up and let's make sure we understand what portion of Scripture we're dealing with when we talk about being epistle lighted. Let's make sure. And so I'm going to tell you that I want you to actually get to the book of Acts. We're going to talk today about the book of Acts, actually, before we get into the epistles. But turn to the book of Acts. And I know the first part of this is going to be a review. But how many of you, when you went to school, your favorite teacher was the one that reviewed things for you? Nobody wanted to go to school and get surprised by a pop quiz. How many of you hated pop quizzes? What do you mean a pop quiz? I need to know when you're going to have a quiz. And so your quality teachers always did a good amount of reviewing for you, so you knew exactly what we were talking about. I want you to actually turn to the book of Acts, and then I want you to get to the Epistle of Jude. The Epistle of Jude. And technically, the book of Acts is not the epistles, but it's required to read so you'll understand where the epistles came from. Got it? So it's this much scripture. It's this much scripture. If you're looking at me on Facebook, I'm going to have to start adding that to my conversation, my sermons. If you're looking at us on Facebook, this is this much scripture that we're going to be dealing with. That's not overwhelming, is it? Now, I know the totality of the Bible can be overwhelming, and we're not again, I think I have to say this because you got to make sure that everybody understands, just in case they start throwing the cult word out at us. We believe that the Word of God begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. We believe it. Totally. Totally. But we believe that primarily our Bible study should be focused primarily in the epistles, and we're including the book of Acts because you need to know the history of Acts to understand where the epistles were birthed from. Everybody cool? Now this whole thing, there it is right here. This whole thing started for me from a revelation standpoint when I read 2 Peter 1:12 that says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always," always. Everybody say always. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. That portion of Scripture that we held up, that portion of Scripture is the present truth that every born-again child of God needs to know and needs to have in their heart in order to be able to live a successful, quality Christian life. In the midst, and we do not have to say this, I don't think, to anybody that's got anything working up in here, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The devil's controlling the world, but thank God, if you're in Christ, he doesn't have to control you. Are you listening to me? And so this present truth is I told you, if I ever wrote a book, if I ever wrote a book, the title of it would be The Present Truth, because I think that's what's lacking in the body of Christ. So then I gave you this verse in Ephesians 3, and this one's not going to be quite as fun because it requires you to do something. How many of you know everybody likes you until you ask them to do something? Right? Everybody's your buddy until you ask them to do something. Especially, by the way, especially if you own a pickup truck and somebody needs to move, and then they ask you to help them move. By the way, there is a rule about helping somebody move. You have to at least be friends for 5 years. There's a 5-year rule before you're going to ask me to help you move. And has anybody ever talked you into coming over to help them move and they told you all they had to move was a couch? And how many of you found out they forgot to tell you about the refrigerator and the stove and the washer and the dryer? And they said, bring your wrenches, which, of course, that would mean Teresa would have to come over because I don't own a wrench. I knew I married the right woman, though, when we started putting our stuff in our house, and one of the things she had was her toolbox. And she said, honey, where's your toolbox? I said, honey, I don't have a toolbox, and I'll never have a toolbox. But I promise you, you'll eat steak if you stay with me on a regular basis. All right. So this verse is a little more difficult because it says, by which, when you read, say it, everybody.
By which, when you read.
I didn't tell you what part, Donnie. I'm sorry. Say the when you read part. Like, by the way, you're all relaxed and comfortable, ready for the Bible lesson. Say the when you read with me. By which,
when you read.
Does anybody want to know why I am putting one verse in the epistles on Facebook every single day? And we're going to do it till we get through the epistles. Does anybody have any idea why I do that? Do you know that I have taken some persecution for that? Do you know that somebody has already asked me not to be their friend? And it's like Teresa said, all they really would have had to have done was just unfriend me. But they had to get a little dig in, and they had to say, please take me off as your friend. Which, that's okay. I'm a big boy. It only hurt me for like 2 days. Amen. But do you know why I'm doing that? Do you understand why I'm doing it? Do you understand that Mark Zuckerberg might have thought that he invented Facebook for the devil, but he didn't? Do you know that's the opportunity to be able to put a verse up on Facebook so that people will do what? Thank you, Donnie. Thanks for playing along. So that people will read it. Because you're not going to understand until you read. By which, when you read, you may understand. Oh my gosh, that's what's lacking. That's the thing that's lacking. It's not power. It's not revival. It's understanding. We don't have an understanding of what God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you won't understand it unless you read it. Amen. Now, I recognize that most people don't spend any quality time reading, and so I'll read for you and tell you what's in there. But sooner or later, you got to read some of it for yourself. Amen. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Oh, it's a mystery, but it's only a mystery to those that don't read. See? So we're going to keep putting the information out. We're going to use every resource available, the radio, the internet, word of mouth. And we're going to let people know this stuff so they can read it for themselves so that they can understand the mystery of Christ. God doesn't want you to be in the dark. I don't have time. I didn't put it up. Colossians 1 says that you may understand the will of God. So anyway, the verse in Colossians that I am going to read to back this verse up is the next verse, Colossians 1:26, the mystery, and so follow what I'm trying to say to you. See what I'm trying to say to you about the Bible and why the present truth from Acts to Jude has to be read. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. See, it wasn't known in the past. That's why you can't live off past truth, because everything wasn't known in the past. But everything's been revealed in the present. That's the reason why you got to primarily focus your Bible study on the epistles, and you have to understand, and I got to put my slide up. You have to understand that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, those are written specifically for you. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now. Everybody say those two words. But now. When is that? When is that? What's the beautiful thing about now? It's now, Jerry. Hallelujah. You know, if y'all keep sitting up here, I'm going to get me a roll of stickers, a little star. And I'm going to put one, when I see that everything's focused properly, I'm going to put one on your forehead. You're on Facebook. Come, you look good, man. Praise God, you do. Praise the Lord. What's the beautiful thing about now? It's now. But now has been revealed to his saints. Somebody said, oh, that just means Paul and Peter. And I guess some of you would thank the Pope over there. But see, I read to you last week, if you'll remember, I read to you last week that in Colossians, everybody in Christ is a saint. Everybody in Christ is a saint. Cheryl, I know this is going to shock you and overwhelm you, but the guy sitting there beside of you is Saint Frank. I doubt seriously that you have a statue of him in your car. You know how they would put him on the dashboard of the car? Jerry, remember that? But we're all saints. We're not ain'ts, we're saints. And so the mystery has now been revealed to his saints. So let's go back to the epistolite truths, and then we're going to spend the day, today only, I'm going to spend the day kind of giving you an overview about the book of Acts and how the book of Acts puts an end to the law, puts an end to religion, and brings to light and brings to revelation the life that's found in Christ Jesus that's available to all people, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, young and old, black and white. Boy, that would have been a real good spot for the whole big crowd over here to say, amen. Are you listening? So remember the epistle, light, truth is, Jordan, epistle like truth, in the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. Let's all say that out loud. In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. One more time. In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. And then the next slide about this, everything, oh, I wish we could get everybody to see that. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. When you get over to the book of Romans, and that's one of the epistles, and that's one of them we're going to spend our first part of our Bible study after today on. When you get over into the epistles and you get over to the book of Romans, what it's really talking about is renewing your mind and getting your mind cleansed of religious thinking. Getting your mind cleansed of all the lies the devil has sown and that he continues to sow, because he is a liar and the father of them. The truth, my friends, is in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, about verse 26. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So today, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the book of Acts, or actually I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about the book of Acts, because I want you to see something that goes on in the book of Acts that is a transition to where we need to live for the rest of our lives on this earth. I've said this before, I'll get ahead of myself and I'll say it again. Probably the biggest problem I see in the Christian church is we treat people like they're Jews. We get them into church and we tell them about the Ten Commandments and we tell them about all the rules and we tell them about all the regulations, and we take all the life out of them. Because whenever you try to approach God on what you're doing, you're going to fail and you're going to get under condemnation. Listen very carefully. This is revelation. The only way Christianity works is when you focus on what God did. Oh, that's why you got to listen to these sermons more than one time. The only way Christianity works, because Christianity, living for God is impossible. I'm talking about on a regular, continual, consistent basis where you cross every T and dot every I. It's impossible. And if you think that that's how you're going to get God's favor and that's going to make God happy, then you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be judged by the law itself. Because the only way you can get to a place where you can know the joy and the peace of God is to recognize God did what we couldn't do. And guess where you're going to find that out? In the epistles. So the book of Acts, and I do want to say this, I do need to back up and say this, because you got to make sure you say as much as you can say in 55.44 seconds. Is it ever wrong to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is it ever wrong? Is that the greatest life ever lived? Do you have to know who it is we're worshiping? Do you have to know who it is we're calling Lord? Do you have to know why we're calling him Lord? Is that absolutely understood? My personal opinion, and I think I'm right on this, the gospel I would read first would be John, but then it's Then you need to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because John only records 6 of his miracles. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell a bunch of the stories that John doesn't tell. But the Gospels, and again, this is going to be, Jordan knows this. Me and Jordan talked about this. The 4 Gospels are actually the end of the Old Testament. Now, I know I got one of these fancy Bibles that Mr. Taylor gave me, great Bible, best Bible I ever had. And my Bible is the Old Testament ends at Malachi and begins in Matthew. But truly, truly, if it was divided, and by the way, man made the division, not God. If you really divided it correctly, the Old Testament would end with the Gospels and begin with the book of Acts. The New Testament would begin with the book of Acts. Real brief, I've said this to you before, but again, we get people all the time that haven't heard any of this. When Jesus was on the cross suffering for the sins of the whole world, right after he finished the last words that John records, I think, is "I thirst," hanging on that cross for the sins of the whole world, he utters these words, and he says it with a loud voice, "It is finished." Oh, man, "It is finished." And you'll have preachers, and most of them mean well. Most of them mean well. And they'll take that verse and connotate that to meaning that salvation is complete and now everything's available to you through Jesus. And that's true, but that's not what he meant when he said it is finished, because you don't get born again. How do I know this? I read the epistles. You don't become a child of God until you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Well, guess what? When he said it is finished, he hadn't been raised from the dead yet. What he meant when he said it is finished, all the requirements of the law, oh my goodness, write this down, don't forget it. All the requirements of the law were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be really honest with you, to be really kind of deep with you, the Old Testament was actually written for him, because he's the only one that could cross every T and dot every I. And that's what he meant when he said, "It is finished." Something else is afoot now. Something else better than the law. All this is in the epistles. It's in the book of Hebrews. Something better than the law is alive now. It's the new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a better covenant established upon better promises, because it's a covenant between God and God, not a covenant between God and sinful, lost man. See, the Old Testament could never work because it required men to do things they couldn't do. And that's why we had to have lambs and bulls slaughtered just to cover our sins. But the blood of Jesus didn't cover our sins. The blood of Jesus removed our sins. Woo! Praise God and thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 15. And I'm just going to give you an overview. James has already somehow flashed 30 minutes at me. You see on these different places, they'll ask you what superpower you'd want to have. Some people say, "I want to fly." Some people say, "I want to be invisible." I'd like to be able to stop time. I'd put a big T on my chest. I'm time stopper. In the name of Jesus, let it always be that I'm 39 and holding. Amen. Although in the world we're living in now, heaven looks a whole lot better. Now, we don't say that because we're trying to escape. Jesus said this in John chapter 17, "I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." But it is a rotten place we live in, with rotten people. Amen. At every level. You know who's becoming one of my heroes, and I don't think he's a believer, but I like him, is that Elon Musk. He's one of the few people in our society that actually tells the truth. First thing he did, you know, he makes electric cars, but he told people, he said, hey, I make electric cars, but we got to get oil and gas over here in the United States of America. Come on now. How stupid are those people in Washington, D.C., talking about climate control, letting a bunch of fringe kooks control our political doctrines? The guy we got in charge of our country is asleep at the wheel, and he sent Kamala Harris over there to be the one that's going to take care of the Ukraine crisis. She can't take care of Kamala. Or the first, what do they call the husband she's married to? They got a name for him. The first what? She introduced that. Anyway, I could only watch that State of the Union just in highlights because I couldn't watch the whole thing, so don't think I did. But I saw enough of it to have to. It's the greatest diet. Anybody want to go on a diet where you don't eat? Just watch Joe Biden talk. Anyway, she's not capable of doing anything like that. And that's who's in charge of our government. I threw that in, it got me off track what I was talking about, John. I can't help it. Somebody said, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. I said this last week, I need to say it again. Somebody said, you're not supposed to talk like that in church. You do at this church. And we give our money away to worthy causes. And we wouldn't be near in the mess we're in as a country if our churches had cojones. So, having said all of that, and again, you can also understand why we're never going to draw a big crowd. This scares people. I have to every now and then give Peggy a hug. I know she does, but I mean, this can be, you know, come on now. I know what's going on. I look out there at some of the folks, and I know it just scares the daylights out of them, but you know what ought to scare you is what's going on in the world. That ought to scare you. It ought to scare you to know that that's who's in charge of our country. That ought to scare you. You ought to be, it's heartbreaking. And the other thing I'm going to say before I get off this is we need to quit apologizing for being conservative Christians. If they don't like what we say, then don't listen to what we're saying. And the other thing is, from a statistical standpoint, there's more people that listen to us than listen to them, but they win the elections. You think that out for a minute. I smell something. I smell a rat. I smell a rat. You know what the most listened to podcast is in America? The Joe Rogan podcast, and they're trying to get him off podcast. The most watched cable channels, Fox News? I don't understand it. Remember, it is finished was the end of the Law and the Prophets. Acts 15, and then I'll use this. I'm going to use this story to kind of give you a little catch up. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men, there's always a troublemaker. There's always troublemakers. How many of you know that? And certain men,
you just take me off as a Facebook friend. Well, there's always a troublemaker.
And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren.
Don't you know they used their religious voice? Don't you know they had on all their religious garments? Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. And they probably, you know, shouted it from a bullhorn. Unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Great part of Scripture here, because what's going on, little review, little help here. The book of Acts begins. The church is birthed in Acts chapter 2. And Peter and James, the Lord's brother, and John, the beloved apostle, are the leadership of the Jewish church. And they begin to minister the gospel just to the Jewish people.
I can't do it all for you. I guess we're going to have to start. But God has to get religion out of Peter. Peter, the man that denied knowing Jesus. And not only denied knowing him, but cussed about it. It makes me feel better about cussing on the golf course. I mean, he cussed about even knowing Jesus. I swear I don't know who that blankety blank is. That man, we discover, has religion in him. And he thinks that salvation is only for the Jewish people. So God has to get him up on a roof. He's on a roof praying. The women are downstairs making him supper, lunch. I wish things were still like that today. At least you ought to be home with a pot today getting supper ready. Instead, guess what we have discovered? Give you this free. When you come here, Frankie, you get it all. Me and Jordan have found a place that's open at 10 o'clock and we love it. Jersey Mike subs. And I want it done Mike's way. Spray all that stuff on it, all that oregano. Glory be to God. Anyway, he has to get him up on the roof. While he's up there on the roof praying, the Lord shows him a vision, and he puts all these unclean animals on a blanket, in a sheet, lifts them down there to him, and Peter says, "Oh, Lord, no, I won't do something like that. I'll deny knowing Jesus, but I sure won't eat pig." He has to drop it down. God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. He drops it down three times. Everything he ever did with Peter after that, he always did it three times. He did. He dropped it down three times. Finally, it dawns on him. Lord's trying to tell me something. Well, some guys from Gentiles had come to the residence, were out there, and the Lord said, "Those guys are there. Go over there and preach the gospel." So Peter goes over there and ministers to Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 10 contains some of the greatest verses in all the Bible. It talks about how Jesus, when he ministers in Acts chapter 10, Peter tells them that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And Cornelius and all that group that believe get saved, and not only do they get saved, they get filled with the mighty Holy Spirit of God. And so Peter realizes that salvation is not just for the Jew, it's for the Gentile, it's for everybody. For God so loved the world. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, a great moment in history, a great moment in history. Because see, you got to understand something. And this is going to make all my Muslim friends and Buddhist friends and other religious friends mad at me. But you got to know something. There was only one group of people that were connected to the one true God, and that was the Jew. That's the reason why Jesus told the woman at the woman at the well that salvation is of the Jews. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1, the epistles, salvation, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first. See, the Jews were hooked up to the one true God. And that's only because Abraham said yes 4,000 years prior to that. Something like that. I'm close on my time. If somebody else had said yes, it could have been the Philistines. See? Could have been the Amorites. But Abraham said yes. So God got back into the earth, got back into the world through the Jewish people. Think about that for a minute. Why would God have to get back in anywhere? Isn't God God? God can do anything. Well, he can't make you go to church. He can't make you be nice to your wife. He can't make you treat your kids good. So obviously, he can't do everything. He can't keep you from voting for stupid politicians. Glory be to God. I had some guy call me the devil during the election because I told him he was the devil for voting for Joe Biden. I think I turned out to be right, which is not unusual. Abraham said yes. And so, oh yeah, so there was only one group of people that were connected to the one true God, but the primary reason they were connected was so Jesus could get born. Remember God told the snake,
when he was back in the garden smiling and, you know, I got what I came for. I'm the God of this world now. You know what God told him? The seed of the woman's gonna crush your head. So he had to get God, he had to get back into the earth, and he got back into the earth through the Jewish people. That's why salvation is of the Jews. And he brought the law, and we'll talk about that later. And he brought the law primarily for two reasons. Number one, to show people how unworthy they were, and also to bring order into our society. See, it's wrong for Russia to go over there and just kill those innocent people. That's wrong. It violates God's law. Are you listening to me? Never, never, never do you have a right to kill innocent people, ever. And if people are killing innocent people, then you have a right to defend and fight against people that are killing innocent people. That's not wrong either. Everybody cool? So, thought I'd throw that in for free. And so, Jesus does come. John sees him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I might not get through the book of Acts today. I probably will, because I'll make myself do it. Okay? And then he goes on the cross. So pick it up to where we left, about where he finishes. He finishes on the cross, and he says, "It is finished." What was finished? The requirements of the law. Being justified by the works of the law. Somebody finally got justified by the works of the law, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he could pay for the sins of the whole world, because he justified us all, because he did everything that was required. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know something? I'm going to throw this in free. I didn't know all this till I got hooked up with Andrew Womack. So that's why I don't mind sending every nickel I can over there. Because if I'm learning this, and other people are learning this. And you know what it did for me? It set me free from being religious. Because you can be a religious, charismatic Christian, because I was one. I thought I was better than other people. I'd see Donnie and Becky over at Mandalay at the bar, and I'd think I was better than them. Now I go to Mandalay and get on the bar with them. People said, "This is just not, you sure this isn't a cult?" I'm positive it's not a cult. What the problem is you probably the one hooked up in a cult. Don't shout me down. Now, you probably are the one hooked up in a religious, pharisaical cult that's got you bound up by rules and regulations instead of being set free by the grace of God. So these yahoos come along and say, "You got to go back to all that. You got to go back to all that." And so, around Acts chapter 9, God does a very unusual thing. He saves the most religious man in the world. Not the most interesting man in the world. That would be that dude that went to Mars that sells that beer. What is that dude? Dos Equis. He's in Mars. They say he's going to come back from Mars. But he saves the most religious man on the earth, a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's been brought up under the feet of a man named Gamaliel. He knows everything there is to know about the law, and he hates Christians. The reason why he hates Christians is because people hate you when you tell them that what they're doing is not right. They hate you for it. And so he hates Christians. He's part of killing Christians, persecuting Christians, and harming Christians. But right before the story of Paul, there's a story of a man named Stephen, the very first martyr. I won't get done with Acts today, I don't think. There's a man named Stephen who is the first martyr. He is stoned because he tells the Israelites, the Jewish people, that they've been stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their heart their entire history. And the Bible says that these are grown people now, and the Bible says that they stuck their fingers in their ear and marched on him like little 4-year-old kids. Nah, 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 nah.
And they get him and stone him. And Jesus gives Stephen a standing ovation and says, and stands up for him. And Stephen sees him and he says, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of God. And then the last thing he says before he breathes his last breath is, Lord, don't hold this against them. And people don't want Christians to be around their society when that's the heart of a true Christian. Forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. Don't you dare call a true Christian a racist. Don't you dare. Just because we don't want some person to cut off their genitals doesn't make us racist. It makes us sane. And you know what? You know who was standing there and receiving the garments? Because they took their coats off to stone him. It says Saul of Tarsus was standing there. And you know what that allowed God to do? You got to hear this. I'm sure nobody's ever told you this because I got it by revelation. It allowed God to save Paul. Because God would, y'all know Paul wasn't asking to get saved. So he's riding on his horse on the road to Damascus with letters to put more Christians in jail. And Jesus knocks him off the horse, and the light is so blinding and so illuminating that it blinds him. And he says, get up. And Paul has enough sense to call him Lord. How many of you know if he knocked me off my horse and I couldn't see, I probably would say, Lord, what would you have me do? Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle, and he begins to preach the gospel to the Jew first, and they reject him and beat him and whip him and stone him and all kinds of things you can think of. And then he goes and takes it to the Gentiles, and he finds out that God loves a Gentile just as much as he loves the Jew. And so after this, Yehu says this in verse 1, verse 2, real quick, I'll have to start here. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute among them, they were fighting back then too. Amen. It wasn't just the Methodists and the Baptists today, or the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. This is the divider. This is when we realize that the Old Testament is no longer necessary. It's not what's required. We find out that it's the grace of God that brings salvation to all people. So down to verse 7. They go over there. Down to verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter. Now see, it's important that Peter be the one to say this because he was the leader. So they had to get back. They had to hear the leader say the right thing. See? And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth, Cornelius' household, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of God, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's the story of Cornelius. Verse 8, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. Oh, what a great verse. Verse 9, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by
faith.
Not by keeping the law. Amen. Not by going to church every Sunday. Listen to me. Let's bring it into the real world. Not by getting baptized in water. Not by receiving the Holy Communion every Sunday. Not by confessing your sins in a box to a man. Not by praying a bunch of rosary beads. Not by paying your tithes. Oh God, you got to pay your tithes here. This is tithe headquarters. No. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. By the way, if you heard what I just said, I just rebuke Catholics and Protestants. So all you Catholic people, don't think I'm picking on just you. Protestants are just as dumb. That needs to be said. Because see, people know usually when you're talking about rosary beads. By the way, my gosh, please, God, don't make a god out of the Virgin Mary. Don't be praying to her. She can't do nothing for you. She's just like me and you, flesh and blood. She got born again. She's in heaven. But she's not divinity or divine, and you don't pray to her. You listening to me? And he made no distinction between us and them. Verse 10, I got to go. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Stand up on your feet. We'll read verse 11 together. And I'll pick it up right here. How many of you believe that? I'll pick it up right here. I'll start right here because we're going to get to Romans from here, I promise. But I had to get over here. You see why we had to start over here? Yep. Now, therefore, verse 11. Everybody ready? Verse 11. I'll say it and then we'll all say it. This multitude of people here. This wonderful, fantastic group of givers is what you are. It's what you are. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. All right, let's say it out loud. Ready? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. John said it in his gospel. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth have come by Jesus Christ. How many of you are awake this morning? How many of you are headed to Jersey Mike's? How many of you like grace way better than the law? I tell you, I love it when my wife gives me grace. Amen. I love it. I love it. Because grace and truth will keep you at peace. The law will keep you condemned. And that's why you got to get over here. From now on, you know that the epistles were written to people who are no longer under the law, but under grace. Listen to me, those of y'all that are listening by radio and internet and by Facebook, listen to me. We want to tell you how blessed we are and how thankful we are that you've tuned in. We also want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus, because you can't get out from under the law of sin and death without getting connected to Jesus. God has no choice, listen to me now, God has no choice but to judge you by the law, because that's the only thing that's available to judge you by until you receive Jesus. And then you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. So come and receive the grace of God today. It's been made available to all mankind, and we've been given the opportunity to share it with you and offer it to you. So say this prayer with me because you really want it. Say this prayer because you mean it. Say, Dear God, I want to know about your grace. I want to receive your grace. And I understand today that Jesus Christ is the grace of God. And I want to receive him. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and rising from the dead, so I could have the grace of God. So I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are my Savior. In Jesus' name. Now the Holy Spirit, who's not, you can't see him, but the Holy Spirit has come into your heart right now. If you said that prayer and you meant that prayer, he's come into your heart and he's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he wants you to get into these epistles and read them. He wants you to listen to men and women who know what's in the epistles and have them teach it to you. And then he wants you to go out in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and shine as lights and let people know that God is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Lord, we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.